and welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and today we have a great show lined up for you today. We'll speak with the Juno Pride Chorus about this week's concert. We'll highlight Saturday's Juno Cabaret concert, celebrating a soul food dinner and the vocal music of Duke Ellington. We'll learn about the Rotary Club's food drive, and Nancy Jacherny will be here with Arts Up, as she is every Thursday. Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, and more here on a Juno Afternoon. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. About 80 people from across South Dakota showed up to a community meeting Wednesday in Rapid City aimed at easing racial tensions. The meeting comes in the wake of some high-profile incidents, including an alleged attack on Native children at a hockey game and a police shooting that resulted in the death of a Lakota man. Charles Michael Ray has more.
The meeting began in a large circle of chairs, with participants standing up and voicing a value they hold dear.
Respect.
Harmony.
Compassion.
Generosity. Openness.
Wisdom.
Courage.
Wa'ushila.
Honesty.
Perseverance.
Community members then broke into small focus groups and worked out a series of questions provided by organizers intent on promoting dialogue and healing. For many, the event turned into a positive experience.
I hope that we get a starting point for addressing the racial tension in this city, and it's just a good thing to see. It looks like as many non-natives as there are natives.
You know, I'm really, really glad that there are so many white folks here who came in, you know, not with an agenda, but with a sense of outrage about what happened to our children. It makes me feel good, and it makes me feel hopeful that, you know, we can build something different.
Within horrible things, there's opportunity. And it starts with the words and the conversations that we have together as Native and non-Native people. This has given the opportunity for all of us to sit down at a table in a safe spot and help begin the creation of a stronger narrative for the entire community.
That's Karen Little Thunder, Chaz Jewett, and Dennis Halterman. A series of public events is planned in the coming days and weeks in Rapid City, including a gathering on Sunday, March 1st at Rapid City's Main Street Square. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray.
The U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs examined the president's 2016 budget request for Indian Country. Senator John Tester, vice chair of the committee, expressed the need to invest in education and health care. The proposed budget includes increases for both. During Wednesday's hearing, Senator Lisa Murkowski told former acting director of the Indian Health Service, Dr. Yvette Rubidoux, that she would not support a nomination for her to resume the position. Murkowski, who's from Alaska, pointed to a poor track record for her state, including contract support cost issues and a lack of resources for village-built clinics. Murkowski says the agency needs new leadership. Change in IHS leadership was announced earlier this month, with plans for the administration to renominate Rubidoux. Tribal and federal officials are set to sign a water rights agreement in Washington, D.C. The agreement guarantees water rights for the Shoshone Paiute tribes located on the Nevada-Idaho border. The Settlement Act authorizes millions of dollars in funding for water-related uses. Secretary of the Interior Sally Jewell will sign the agreement. She says water development projects on the Duck Valley Reservation are important for many reasons, including economic development.
But it's also very important to the interest that they have in water resources like springs and lakes and water-dependent wildlife. So this water settlement provides them not only with the certainty that they need with regard to water rights, but also with the water distribution network they need to make it work for both agriculture and the residents of the reservation.
Litigation on the issue goes back to the 1990s. Settlement with the federal government was authorized in 2009. Jewell says the Obama administration has completed 6 water rights settlements and is actively working on other ones. A signing ceremony for the Shoshone Paiute Water Rights Agreement will take place Friday morning at the Interior Department. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. STEM students thrive at New Mexico Tech. Personalized instruction, rigorous curricula, and research opportunities groom NM Tech grads for professional and financial success. Cost and salary info of Tech grads in Winds of Change magazine or nmt.edu.
The Albuquerque Espano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 5th Annual Native American Training Institute, April 12th. Information on services and the NATI event at ahcnm.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and in the studio with me, I have Barbara Belknap and Leslie Wood, and they're here to talk about this Saturday's Juno Pride Chorus Concert. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the Juno Pride Chorus, for people who don't know what the Juno Pride Chorus is, can you fill us in? There's probably at least one person out there that's saying, what is that?
Well, the Juno Pride Chorus is a women's chorus. We've been together for 17 years, and we were formed by PFLAG, and so we are a women's chorus in town that sings from the heart about women's issues that involve, that affect gay and lesbian and transgender people, and we are a voice for positive change in the community.
And so most of the songs that you pick are about empowering women and just people in general, right? It's a pretty uplifting concert, as I seem to recall.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So this Saturday is you're having a concert. What's the kind of music that you'll be doing?
Well, this year the theme has been strong women. So we have songs like Aretha Franklin's Respect and Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, and we have a great song about Joan of Arc. So the theme overall is strong women. We have one song in an African language, which we usually have one song in a foreign language. And the women are just really getting behind this program. I mean, it is really fun to sing these songs. And a lot of the younger women that we have, really, you know, it's their parents that, you know, like me, that know about Respect and those songs. But it's just been really fun practicing and getting ready.
And how many women are participating in the group right now?
We have 32 members at the present time.
And is it an open, you know, for the public? Is if, say, if I wanted to come along and sing as part of the Pride Chorus, is it open for everybody?
We are open to anyone who is, well, we're a women's chorus, so we're women's, and open to singing your part and having a good time. Open to supporting women's issues and LGBT issues. And we open our rehearsals at the end of the summer to new members.
Great. And so this concert is this Saturday. Could you give us the details?
Yep. It's this Saturday, February 28th. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's at Northern Light United Church downtown. And that's about it. That's the basic information, but I would recommend people get there early because I think it's going to be jam-packed.
And is there a ticket charge?
There is a ticket charge. The tickets, Leslie, she's memorized the tickets.
There are 16 for adults, 18 at the door. I think it's 13 for seniors and students, 15 at the door, and then we have a price for families, which is whatever you decide a family is, but usually parents and kids, and that's $35.
That's great. And so you all usually do a couple of big concerts a year, is that correct?
We usually do one, and then we all do many little community performances, like we sing at the World AIDS Day and the 1 Billion Rising. We often sing at the Folk Festival.
That's great. And the funds for this performance, do they go directly back into your programming? Because I've also known you all to do some traveling to other places to sing with other people and learn from other choirs.
Yes, we were planning on going to the Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses International Festival, which is in the summer of 2016, and it will be in Denver, Colorado. And so we are fundraising for that. And we hold other fundraisers throughout the year, like the Pride Prom and the Snowball Dance that some of our listeners have been to. And this, all the ticket proceeds will go back to the chorus for those fundraising events.
Barbara, how did you get involved in the chorus?
Well, I was working for the state for a long time. I was the director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. And after I got ovarian cancer, and after I had the surgery, I just couldn't get my strength back to work, so I resigned. And then I just started looking around and thinking, well, what did I really care about before fish? You know, what was that that I really got me excited? And I love to sing. I grew up singing at the piano next to my mom. She could play by ear any song, and so I would sit on the bench and sing with my mother, and I love to sing. And my sister is gay. She's lesbian, and she lives with her wife in Tennessee. So it was personal, but it was really about fun. And I know a lot of the women in the chorus beforehand. So it's been quite a while now, and I think it's just really one of the few things I do where I walk in, start singing, and I don't think about another thing until I walk out again. So it really engages you. And if we don't watch Leslie, we can get into trouble. No, not trouble, really. But we want to be part of the group. We want to do our part, and we want to do it right. So that means practicing, practicing, practicing.
Leslie, how do you choose the songs that are involved in each concert?
We usually choose our music in a committee. And so we get together at the end of the season and think about the next season and look through music and find stuff that we really enjoy, that excites us. And this season, it was really fun to pick the music. The music just came together, and it created a good cohesive concert. So a lot of times in the past, we've sung a variety of music, which we still do this year, but it just seems to fit together in a theme, overall theme, better this year than before. And so that's been kind of a work in progress, how to choose the music. That's how we do it.
If people want to come to the show or get involved as a singer later on in the summertime, is there information online that people can check out?
Yes, we have a website, JunoPrideChorus.com. We're on Facebook, and you can come to the concert and give us your email so we can put you on the email list. And if you're interested in singing, then we usually get on the radio at the end of the summer to invite people to come to our rehearsals and try us out.
Barbara, would you mind giving us the details of the concert one more time for our listeners?
I'll be happy to. It is this Saturday, February 28th. It starts at 7 o'clock. It's at Northern Light United Church at 400 West 11th Street. And get there early. Get a good seat.
Barbara Belknap, Leslie Wood of the Juno Pride Chorus, thank you for coming by the studio to talk about this Saturday's concert.
Thanks for having us.
And here is a song from the Juno Pride Chorus.
To go, you know I won't give in. No, I won't give in.
again, that's the Juneau Pride Chorus. You can check them out this Saturday at the Northern Lights Church downtown. And there's also lots of things going on this Saturday. It's a very busy time. Speaking of Saturday, there's a wonderful event that's been happening for a while, and this year it's taking on a little bit of a new, interesting face. I'm very excited about that. But I'd like to welcome to the studio Sherry Patterson and Laura Haywood, both women instrumental in both the music scene and activism scene in this town. So thanks for joining me in the studio.
Thanks for inviting
me, Shauna.
Yeah, so this Saturday is also the Black Awareness Association annual dinner and celebration.
Yes.
And Sherry, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about kind of the history of this event.
Yes. Thank you again for inviting us to be here. And we've been doing our dinner now in Juneau for years. I'll just go ahead and say 20 years and, or more. And it's, it just evolved over the years, the many years that I've been a part of this, which has been about 12. And this year, we're, as you already said, teamed up with the Juneau Cabaret to add a different element to it. And we're going to take care of the food. They're going to take care of the entertainment. And we are very, very excited to team up with them this year. Yes.
So this event in the past has been held out by the hospital.
Yes.
At the Clink at
Hospital
Haida.
Drive, yes.
Yeah.
It was unavailable.
It was unavailable, and it also moves it to a location that's downtown, right?
Correct. That's right. We are doing a lot of different things this year. Yes, it's so, downtown at the Elizabeth Paratovich Hall, formerly the A&B Hall, at 6 o'clock p.m. We're going to start off with the food, and then few minutes later, we're going to get into the meat of the matter.
You know, I have to say that I have been to this event quite a few years.
Yes,
and
yes.
And we can talk about the food for for a minute, if that's
yes.
okay.
Yes, sure. Thank you.
It is a soul food dinner, and
it is.
It's for real.
Yes, yes. On the menu, on our mouth-watering menu, is fried chicken, fried catfish, homemade potato salad by Miss Sherry here, homemade macaroni and cheese, white corn, greens and cornbread, sweet potato pie, and peach cobbler.
Wow.
Yes, that's a lot of food.
So I do know from personal experience that fried catfish, it goes fast.
Yes, it does.
And it is
need
one
to
of
get
those,
there. Yeah, exactly.
One of those things you want to get there early.
Yes,
for.
Yes, yes.
Well, cool. So this was also, you know, one of the first years, because there's been entertainment at the
yes.
event in the past,
yes.
but this is kind of a new form of
it is.
Entertainment.
It absolutely is. And, you know, it's taken a lot of weight off of us to have having to plan the meal and the entertainment. And I say that this was a marriage made in heaven,
Laura,
working with Laura
yeah.
in the Juneau Cabaret.
It is great. So,
yes,
Laura,
it
I was
is.
Wondering if you could talk a little bit about how the cabaret got involved and then actually the entertainment for the evening.
Well, as I know you know, Shauna, the cabaret is usually a little bit of a free-for-all. We do four shows a year where anybody wants to sing. If you can get someone to accompany you, you can sign up. But the music director, Tom Locher, and I have kind of been itching to do something a little different, and we call them curated shows, where we take a particular jazz composer, in this case, Duke Ellington, and focus on the work of that composer, and we have sort of a hand-picked group of singers who include Sherry Patterson, Erica Lee, Taylor Vidic, Salisa Thole, and my husband, John Haywood, as our man, and we're just going to do Ellington songs. In addition, we're going to have a narration to tell people a little bit about Duke and who he was, and what he meant to his, you know, to American history and music history, and in the context, the historic context. So that's it in a nutshell.
Sherry, did you, you know, when you two started talking about this collaboration between Juneau Cabaret and the Black Awareness Association, did you have Duke Ellington in the back of your mind?
Or? I did not. I did not. But they did, and it works. It's working. Yeah, and I just want to mention also before we go on that the proceeds from this event goes toward our yearly scholarships to our graduating high school seniors who are aspiring to go further in their educational career. So there is a real motive to this. Yes, yes. So everybody who is buying a ticket is contributing to the further education of one of our community kids.
And are the tickets available in advance?
Yes, they are, and we encourage people to go ahead and buy them in advance. We can't promise that there are going to be any sales at the door.
Where do people pick up tickets?
The usual places, that is the Jack online at the Arts Council website, jhc.org, Hearthside, all the usual places.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, what songs are you singing?
I am singing All Too Soon and Come Sunday, and then at the end, It Don't Mean a Thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
our big finale.
That's our big finale, yeah.
Because, you know, It Don't Mean a Thing.
Don't mean a thing.
That's true.
Yes.
So this event is yearly, but I was wondering if you could talk about the other things that the Black Awareness Association does for our community or here in our community.
Sure. We have teamed with other groups and have been in support of other groups. We have sponsored dinners and donated the proceeds to one of the dance groups that the Alaska Native dance groups that was trying to get to, I believe it was D.C. at the time. We have collaborated with, like I said, other groups. I don't have the list in front of me. But we believe in our community. We believe in education. We believe in collaboration. And that's what community is about. So this just sort of came natural. For us to do, and it just takes it to another level. And we sponsor the Martin Luther King community event every January, and for the past couple of years, we have for the past few years, we have collaborated with the Jack to bring our two brothers from Harlem, Pastor Bobby Lewis and Eustace Johnson, which we just got through with them last week. Oh, my God. It was incredible. It always is. But this one was just off the chain. It just was. And they're in Fairbanks right now doing the same thing. Wish I could have gone with them, but had some work here to do. In June, we do the Juneteenth celebration. And we take a break, and in September, we start all over again, planning for January and February again. Yeah.
If people wanted to check out some information online, where could they take a look?
They can go to our Facebook page, Black Awareness Association, Juneau, Alaska, and please like us. We would love for you to do that. And we keep a lot of current events and just some facts about Black history during the year, just to keep it in front of people. And we're also online at BAA.com.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And the Juneau Cabaret definitely stays active. What is, after this event on Saturday, what's your next plans?
Our next scheduled cabaret is April 19th at Rockwell, and we have room for more singers. You ought to think about it sometime, Shona.
I can't find it in the company.
That's my problem. JunoCabaret.net is where you can go and sign up.
I also
want to just to give a plug for Tom Loker, who is our, you know, he's my partner in crime with Juno Cabaret, plus he is our accompanist for this whole show, mm-hmm. and Clay Good is on drums for this show, too, mm-hmm. so.
That's great. Wonderful talents in this town.
Yes.
So, Sherry, I was wondering if you could give me those details one more time, just so people can rush and get their tickets.
All
because
right.
You do not want to miss
yes,
Catfish. Not kidding.
Yes. We will. Thank you so much, Shauna. The event is the annual Soul Food Dinner and Duke Ellington vocals at the A&B Hall, which is now the Elizabeth Perrette Trevich Hall, at 6 o'clock. P.M. Saturday, February 28th, in 2 days, and it's gonna be good. You can get your tickets at online at jahc.org, at Hearthside Books, or at the Jack. And we want to see everybody there. It's gonna be good.
Yep.
Laura Haywood of the Juno Cabaret and Sherry Patterson of the Black Awareness Association, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this Saturday's annual Soul Food Dinner with music, with the voice of Duke Ellington, with some fabulous singers.
Yes.
That's going to be a great night. Thank you for talking about
that.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much, Shauna.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 26th of February, 2015. The playwright Christopher Marlowe, baptized in Canterbury, England, on this date, 1564, a very gifted boy, son of a shoemaker, went to Cambridge on a scholarship, and it is believed he became a spy for Queen Elizabeth I, posing as a Catholic to gather intelligence on any plots against the Protestant Queen. Even less is known about Marlowe than about Shakespeare, but his plays reveal a man who was cynical about religion and politics, who was most likely a homosexual and an atheist in a time when it was very dangerous to be either one, let alone both. But he was a brilliant poet and dramatist, worked in blank verse, inspired Shakespeare to do the same. Before he was stabbed to death in a tavern at the age of 29, he wrote Tamburlaine the Great, Dr. Faustus, The Jew of Malta, Edward II, and The Massacre at Paris, and also Come Live with Me and Be My Love, and we will all the pleasures prove that hills and valleys, dale and field, and all the craggy mountains yield. It's the birthday of Victor Hugo, born in Besançon, France, 1802, author of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, about a gypsy girl and the deformed bell ringer who was in love with her, and Les Miserables, about Jean Valjean, a poor man sentenced to 20 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread. By the time Victor Hugo died at the age of 82, he was a national hero, and 2 million mourners watched his funeral procession go by. It's the birthday of John Harvey Kellogg, doctor and serial pioneer, born in Tyrone, New York, 1852, moved to Battle Creek, Michigan, where he and his brother Will invented cereal flakes. And it was on this date, 1919, the Grand Canyon National Park was established after a 30-year battle over the opposition of ranchers, miners, and entrepreneurs. Today, the park covers more than 1,900 square miles, the canyon itself 277 river miles long, 10 miles wide, a mile deep. Theodore Roosevelt went to see it in 1903, and he said the Grand Canyon is beyond comparison, unparalleled throughout the wide world. Let this great wonder of nature remain as it now is. You cannot improve on it, but what you can do is to keep it for your children, your children's children, and all who come after you as the one great sight which every American should see. Here's a poem for today by Lawrence Robb, entitled Marriage. Years later, they find themselves talking about chances, moments when their lives might have swerved off for the smallest reason. What if I hadn't phoned, he says that morning. What if you'd been out, as you were when I tried 3 times the night before? Then she tells him a secret. She'd been there all evening, and she knew he was the one calling, which was why she hadn't answered. Because she felt, because she was certain, her life would change if she picked up the phone, said hello, said, I was just thinking of you. I was afraid, she tells him, and in the morning I also knew it was you, but I just answered the phone the way anyone answers a phone when it starts to ring, not thinking you have a choice. Marriage, a poem by Lawrence Robb, from What We Don't Know About Each Other, published by Penguin and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Progressive Insurance, with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from North End Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. North End Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Bardathon is coming back to Juneau March 3rd through 8th. Celebrate the wit and wisdom of Shakespeare and take part in free community readings at the Juneau Public Library. Check out special performances with Theater in the Rough, Perseverance Theater, Theater at Latitude 58, and the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater. Brought to you by JPL, Friends of the Library, and Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater. Visit juneau.org/library or find us on Facebook.
Hey, this is Bobby Mitchell coming to you from the PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus. Our concert this year is Saturday, February 28th at 7 o'clock. We have moved to the Northern Light Church on West 11th. Tickets at the door. We will be honoring strong women like Malala, Joan of Arc, Sojourner Truth, and Mother Teresa. We sing of equality and respect. So come and support your PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus on February 28th, 7 o'clock at the Northern Light Church. See you there.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. It is 31 minutes past the hour. My name is Shona Strausser. And in the studio with me, I have Eric Hamilton. He's a member of the Juno Gastineau Rotary Club. And you are here to talk about a food drive that you all are putting on for our community.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate you guys helping us get the word out for this year's annual food drive that we're putting on.
No problem.
So, yeah, so I represent the Juno Gastineau Rotary Club, one of three Rotary Clubs in Juno. And basically what we are is we're a group of people that are focused on serving the community. We also like to try and take action to bring about positive change in the community and also build enduring relationships. That's also a big part of being a member of Rotary as well.
And so Rotary does, being there's three different Rotary groups in town, Rotary actually does quite a bit of fundraising, both on the local level, internationally as well, and then also provides some other really cool events in town that people might not necessarily think, oh, that was Rotary or that was, you know. And I was wondering if you could talk about some of those other fundraising things that you all have done.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it's funny you mentioned international. We do. We sponsor a student every year to go over and do an exchange program at different countries overseas, sometimes in South America. There's been some in Europe as well. We try and do some outreach work as well, where we raise funds and we set aside a certain pool of funds every year from the committee, the memberships and the donations to go to projects in third world countries and bring about some change that way. But also we do a lot of stuff locally as well. Some of the different programs that we do every year and some of the ways we try and get involved in the community is a program called Day at the Lake. We also do a lot of volunteer work and a Christmas exchange every year at the Pioneer Home. Also we've done some work and at the Glory Hole. And this year has been a big year for us helping out with Zach Gordon as they do some expansion and some remodeling inside in the kitchen area. So we've been working hard on that. And, yeah, we do get involved in a lot of different areas.
So the Rotary, I'm wondering if you could give people kind of a brief rundown of what the mission of Rotary is, or, you know, what, because it is a service organization, but it's also sometimes a social networking organization as well.
It is, absolutely. You know, it's we try to make the main focus on community involvement and bring about change in the community. You know, service before self is kind of the mantra within Rotary. So, you know, it is important for us to get our name out there, but it's not as important for us as we do these projects in the community to put our stamp on it. You know, it's more about what we're doing and some of the things we're trying to bring about change. So, you know, as I mentioned, Glory Hole, Zach Gordon, Pioneer Home, we try and do different things. And some, you know, every year something comes up or a Rotary member will hear of a need in the community and we'll see if we can pull together a group to figure out if there's some type of funding that needs to be helped or, you know, get out there and do things ourselves. You know, we've done things like build ramps for the Pioneer Home or for the elderly, you know, go and pick up groceries for somebody that might not have the capability to go do that. So
that's great. So this upcoming event or way to get involved is actually with the food drive.
Yes, absolutely. Every year, Rotary, the three Rotary groups in Juneau kind of pull together to put on a big food drive for the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. It's a great cause. There's definitely certainly a need in our community of Juneau and Southeast Alaska outlying communities for more food. What we focus on with the food drive is trying to get the word out and collect non-perishable items, typically stuff that can be stored for a little bit longer periods of time before they're distributed. You know, some of the food that we're looking to collect and we're telling people about that's really needed is stuff like canned foods, you know, canned fruit, canned vegetables, green beans, you know, pasta, rice, oatmeal, stuff like that, flour. Stuff that, you know, won't go bad quickly, stuff that you'll find in the cupboard. So, you know, as well as, you know, getting on the radio and trying to bring about awareness to it, we're also trying to spread the word in the community. The people can, you know, clean out the pantries if there's something that's non-perishable that they don't have a need for or that's kind of been sitting there and it can go to good use. You know, we'd love to have you bring it down. And of course, we would also be willing to come pick it up as well. We do have people that can do that.
So are there drop-off locations that people can put non-perishable items?
Yes, absolutely. As far as Saturday goes, it's a 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. event where each Rotary Club is holding it at a different location. One is Super Bear in the Valley grocery store. Fred Meyer is another location. And then Foodland IGA downtown is our third location. So we will have a bus that Darren from the Southeast Alaska Food Bank coordinated to get all three buses parked at each location, and we're really kind of filling the bus is kind of our thing. We're trying to fill the bus with canned food, and we'll be taking drop-offs all throughout the day and filling that bus up. And at the end of the day, they'll be going to weigh the food and see how much was collected, and then we're going to drop it off at the food bank. And in other ways, you know, at also through my club and in coordinating it through our group, people can also between now and Saturday drop off food at the Key Bank location downtown. We have boxes there as well if you don't have a box to bring it in, and then that can be transported from there as well.
So we're talking full-size buses here?
You know, they're half buses, half-size buses. It's quite the image if you're thinking of filling a full-size bus. But
oh, that's great. That's great. So, great, because I didn't know there were buses involved. Now that buses bring on a whole new meaning, you got to fill the bus.
Yeah.
So people can check out. So they'll look for the bus in the parking lot, essentially. So it's not like at the end of the checkout line or whatever. It's a specific part in the parking lot.
Exactly. Exactly. It'll stand out. So you'll definitely be able to see it. They should be parked I believe near the entrances closer, which is we'll also have also a little table and an area set up in the inside entrance of each location where we'll be talking to people as they come in and the bus will be, yeah, close to the entrance there parked in the parking lot.
Do you know how many, you know, poundage-wise, how much are you all talking about raising for the
thousands of pounds? No, you know, really, we want to fill the bus. That's kind of our slogan this year. So, you know, I couldn't tell you what a full half bus, what the actual poundage would be. That would have been a good information to bring, some insightful information. But no, we're just looking to fill the buses. That's our slogan this year, and with that will come a lot of poundage of food. So
Will they be filling the bus as people drop off things? So
yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you can watch the filling of it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. A little entertainment involved as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's great. And, you know, the Rotary Club is also, I mean, you know, there's three in town. And I've also seen some Rotary Clubs. There's been kind of a get said community member out of, air quote, jail and with a canned good. And I've seen that kind of around town. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is something that's been, you know, It's not something that we've or that I have heard a lot about, but I know that's been said a little bit in town.
Yeah. I've definitely rescued a few people for the Broadway.
No, that you know, last year there was a drive or you donate a certain amount and you can rescue someone from jail and then you tag another person who's in jail. Yeah, you know, I can't remember when that comes up again every year. I think the Valley Group did that last year, the Valley location. So, of course, that's not my group, but I remember being tagged.
Yeah, of course. So this is a combination of all three Rotary groups, though, working together to fill three separate buses. Can you give us those locations one more time?
Sure, yeah. So the Super Bear in the Valley is one location, and that is right in the Mendenhall Mall there. And the second location is Fred Meyer. Of course, most people know where that is. That's, you know, right north of Lemon Creek, right off Glacier Highway. And then the third location is Foodland IGA downtown grocery store.
Great. And people should feel free and welcome to come drop off non-perishable food items. That's cans of fruits and vegetables and other pasta, things that will not go bad. And throw those in the bus. I just said throw. That's a whole other campaign.
Yeah, you know, with canned foods, that's a scary thought. Huh?
Yeah, okay. Just fill the bus. That's all we're looking for. Well, great. And as far as the Juno Gastineau Rotary Club goes, when you're looking ahead, what are some other upcoming events for you all?
Yeah, you know, we have a couple big things going on. Well, I guess it was a little while ago. It doesn't feel like very long. We do a spring a bulb sale. It goes quick. And a spring and fall bulb sale, and that brings a lot of attention and seems to get a lot of good responses from the community. You know, we're still working on stuff with international. We're actually looking to sponsor somebody to go overseas and work on some projects. So sometimes that's internal, but sometimes that can be outside of the club as well. We got another project. We're going out and we're doing some work just at some small facilities around town you know, some construction work. We've got a couple construction guys in the group that are great to have and really knowledgeable. There's events that we do every year. You know, we did the Pioneer Home just recently around Christmas time. And, of course, the Glory Hole. We're always active there. We have a handful of events throughout the year.
That's great. And where can people find out more information about the Rotary's involvement both here in Juneau and across the world?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, really, if you type in Juneau Rotary to any Google search, we have a website that'll pop up and has a lot of information. I know a lot of the Rotarians are actively trying to spread the word in the community as well, because we're always looking for new members that want to get involved. That's another thing that we're certainly trying to do this year is grow the different Rotary memberships and clubs in town. It's just a great opportunity to reach out to the community, you know, accomplish your civic duty, if you will, and great for building relationships and getting involved in the community.
Sounds fabulous. So that's this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the three different places in town. That's the Super Bear out in the Valley. We've got Fred Meyer kind of in between there. And we've got the downtown Foodland IGA. Look for the bus. Don't throw, but fill the bus with some non-perishable items that benefit the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. Thank you, Eric Hamilton with the Juneau Gastineau Rotary Club, for coming on to tell us about this fabulous service.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
This is Bird Note. Take a walk in a temperate woodland this month, and you might hear this chorus. A closer look and listen reveal that this foraging flock includes several species of birds, chickadees, kinglets, and even a downy woodpecker. Many bird species eat alone, so you might wonder why these birds have chosen to dine together. Different species flocking together to find food, called commensal feeding, mutually enhances success. One species assists the foraging of others. For example, in chickadee and woodpecker flocks, the woodpecker pecks off bark and moss, exposing grubs for its own consumption. But the pecking also stirs up flying insects that the chickadees swoop in to snatch. The relationship also helps the woodpecker, because the extra eyes of the chickadees are on the lookout for predators. The watchdog chickadees alert the close-focused woodpecker when there's danger. Because these birds, foraging together, don't seek the same foods, the result is cooperative or commensal rather than competitive feeding. Join the flock. Become a member of your local Audubon and find ways to improve habitat for birds. Begin at birdnote.org.
The following message is brought to you by Aware of Alaska.
Welcome to Aware's 19th Annual Women of Distinction Celebration of dedicated service to women and children of our community. And the honorees are Lorraine Durr, Ernestine Hayes, Betty Kapler, and Sherry Paul. Join us at the Women of Distinction Dinner and Silent Auction Saturday, March 7th at Centennial Hall. Tickets are at Aware, 586-6623, or go online at thejahc.org.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, February 26th, and it's 46 minutes past the hour. And here in the studio, I have with me Jeffra Clow and Matt Lillard here with our Eagle Crest update. Hi, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us on this afternoon.
Sure. So what's going on up there? Except for sunshine.
Yeah, we've the rain and warmth is broken, and now we've got some beautiful sunshine, blue skies, and it looks like that's going to continue into the weekend.
Oh, cool.
And we're definitely here to announce that we're going to make it another 2 days. We haven't given up quite yet, and we're going to open up the Porcupine Chairlift again this weekend from 9 to 4 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have the Dolly Varden and Muskeg Trails open, some train park features up on Muskeg, and we'll be welcoming back our Weeski programs and some other snow sports school programs. I'll let Jeffra talk about that.
Yep, we'll have Weeskies going on, so if you're a Weeski parent or a Weeski student, you can count on coming to class this weekend. We've also encouraging everybody, if you want to come out and learn how to ski and snowboard, this is the weekend to do it. Sunshine's going to be awesome. We can get you started on the beach. It'll be great. So give us a call up at the mountain at 790-2000 extension 211, and you can find everything about Eagle Crest at skijuno.com. And just like to invite the entire community to come up, make some turns in the sunshine this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I've been talking to some little kids in the Wii Ski program, and they're having the time of their life.
Well, and it's not just kids. You know, some people are looking at me and going, you know, it's just Porcupine. Well, I'm here to tell you that Porcupine rocks. And we have seen little kids, big kids, old kids, young kids, just everybody out there having just a fabulous time on Porcupine. And this is your weekend to do it in the sun, so come on up. Don't be afraid of the Porcupine.
Well, tell me if I'm wrong, Jeffra. It seems like if you are an advanced person, you know, skier or boarder, even if you're on the Porcupine, it seems like you could refine some things.
Exactly. You certainly can. We've got the train park features, as Matt said. We have the Juno Ski Club, I think, is a prime example. Those kids have been practicing and skiing on the Porcupine chair all season, and they've had some of their best race results they've had in years. So you can definitely rock the world on Porcupine chair, so don't be afraid of it.
Anything to add there, Matt?
No, just, you know, our operating these days are definitely week to week. We came in this morning not knowing if we could pull it off for this weekend, and we got out there and pushed some snow around and made it. And next week's always a whole other story. We'd still like to say winter's going to come back and dump some snow, but it looks less and less likely every week. But that said, we've got some snow in the Porcupine area, and we're going to use it to the very last drop. So come on out, and, you know, like Jeffra said, you can't beat this weekend. We're looking at temps in the 40s, brilliant blue skies. You know, at the very least, come on up and ride the chair, take a couple turns in the sunshine.
And thank you so much for actually going up there and pushing around some snow for us. We really do appreciate that.
We're pretty excited to do it, and, you know, we're all excited on the mountain that we're able to offer skiing and snowboarding one more weekend.
That's right, Jeffra Clow and Matt Lillard talking about the happenings at Eagle Crest. It's not over. Until they say it is. Thanks for joining me in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It is Thursday, February 26th. My name is Shona Strausser, and it's 51 minutes.
My name was different than that.
Oh. I have no idea what my name is anymore. But I do know your name. Hi, Nancy DeCherney. Here with...
Shona Strausser.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me.
Is it changing, these things?
Things are changing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, art's up. What's
hey.
Up? Art's
well,
up.
There's a few things.
Okay.
A few things going on, big things. Yeah, there is an after-hours film fest happening over at the Douglas Public Library. I think they're showing The Birdcage, just looking at the description. I don't know if they're showing the French version or the English version, American one, but...
I love that
it's
movie.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a fun movie. That's from 6 to 7:30 over at the Douglas Public Library, and it's free. 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., Montessori Borealis is having information for prospective students at the Marie Drake Building. So if you're curious about an alternative for your students, time to go check that out. Friday from 2 to 3, there's a Meet the Author and book signing event at Centennial Hall in the main lobby. This is, and also probably the same person, Marissa Meyer will be at Hearthside Books in the Nugget Mall. She's a young adult author, and she'll be at Nugget Mall from 6 to 7 p.m.
Does that mean she's like a 17-year-old writer, or she writes...
I think she writes for the young adult audience.
Got it.
Yeah. But I, you know, I could be completely off base. Sometimes I make things up, you know. Artistic liberty. Six to 8 p.m., it's the Siegla Friday Social over at the Imperial. Dan Hobson. You know, I don't think it'll be Dan. I think he injured himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he cut the tip off of one of his fingers. So I think it might be John Unzicker.
Oh, wow.
Until Dan regrows parts of his body there.
We're sending all the earthworm love we can right
yes.
now.
Dan, heal. Okay. Not that we don't love John Unzicker, too.
That's right.
But anyway, let's see. Shots on... Shots on Goal is a hockey team fundraiser, and that is at the Baranoff Hotel from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Friday night.
Cool.
And on Saturday, you can again go learn about Montessori Borealis at the Marie Drake thing in the morning, 10 to 11 a.m. There's a soccer club wine tasting fundraiser with specialty imports at 6 p.m. at Suite 907 on Saturday. The Pride Chorus, which you've talked about, is at 7 at Northern Light. There's a masquerade ball out at UAS at 7 p.m. Cunning Little Vixen opens.
Ooh.
That's an Opera to Go event.
That's
happening at Thunder Mountain High School. And it's going to run for a couple of weekends, maybe, but you don't want to, you know, take your chances. Get your tickets now. Carnival of Juno. Do you know anything about that?
I know just a few things. I know that I need to be there.
It says here, Carnival of Juno, Hangar Ballroom, Susu and the Prophets.
That's right. We have a gig on Saturday. So we're starting to play at 9 p.m. There's some costume contest for like the winter-defying outfit, which I always have kind of figured birthday suits, but whatever.
Okay, then.
Okay. Done. It's going to be the best gig ever.
Depends on whose birthday suits show
Amen
up.
Amen to that. Anyway, that'll be a lot of fun. It's a fundraiser for the Juno Co-op preschool. So,
cool.
Super fun.
They're doing that instead of Zippity Doodah.
It is.
Yes.
It's an adult doodah.
We're having a tough time today. So, but you've already also mentioned the annual Soul Food Dinner, which is fabulous. That is at 6 p.m. on Saturday night, and they're also having the music of Duke Ellington. The amazing Sherry Patterson and Taylor Vidic are going to be performing as long as Erica Lee. I can't remember the whole lineup.
Lisa Thole.
It's just like a great lineup of music and some spectacular food. So go there. 6 p.m. Elizabeth Paradovich Hall. On Sunday, we've got, again, Cunning Little Vixen at 3 o'clock. There's also a chamber music night at Northern Light Church, which is being presented by the Juno String Ensembles. And Music on the Fly, it's going to be French horn music out at the airport from 7 to 8 p.m. on Sunday. That's free, of course. And, oh, you know, we always forget that the ukulele jam happens Sunday morning. So T.K. McGuire's. On Monday, we've got the community calendaring meeting, which is your opportunity to get your fundraiser on the calendar before everybody else for next year. Start anything that's going to happen in the next season. We want it on the calendar so we're not all stepping on each other's toes and the calendar works out nicely and we are all busy all the time, which we are. Also on Monday is the Tlingit Language Learners at the Downtown Public Library from 6 to 7 p.m., and that's free. Tuesday, let's see, it's kind of, there's a NAMI Basics course and some Youth Beginning Wheel with Brandon Howard at the Canvas. On Wednesday, it looks like Water If Life Film Festival at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, 5:30. Mercedes Munoz is offering wheel throwing at the Canvas, and it's from 7 to 8 p.m. Wildlife Wednesday is providing a better experience for bears and people at Thunder Mountain High School.
Cool.
I'm not sure about that. They do an awful lot of really nice presentations, the wildlife folks. So, and then on next, let's see, The Odd Couple. You can go to some pay-as-you-can preview type things. The first one is on Sunday at 7:30.
4 p.m.
It's at 4 p.m.
Sorry,
see?
That's my bad. 4 p.m.
Oh, 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we moved all our Sunday shows to 4 p.m.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. All right. And then there's also a pay-as-you-can on Wednesday at 7:30 and another one on Thursday before the grand opening on next Friday.
That's right. I'm excited. It's funny. The cast is hilarious.
It's a hilarious, wonderfully funny play. I love it.
Yeah.
Glad they're doing it.
Yeah.
So we've covered it. That's
cool.
It.
Where can people get this information?
Well, jahc.org and ktoo.org has the complete calendar with details and phone numbers and all that sort of stuff. And you can get your tickets by going to that same place or coming by the Jack. Because you know you need them.
Ms. DeCherney, we got through it. Well
tough.
Done. It was tough. We had a lot of obstacles today. But thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure. And Friday, February 27th, tomorrow, Juno afternoon, you'll learn about the upcoming sound and motion presentations with Katie Bosler. Brandon Howard from the Canvas will be here to discuss upcoming classes being held at the Canvas. We'll get a preview of the Friday fireside lecture at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. And Opera to Go's Todd Hunt will be here to highlight this weekend's presentations of The Cunning Little Vixen. And Scott Burton will host that Juno afternoon. And he'll have all sorts of wonderful things to tell you also. Thursday at 7 on KTOO News, listen for February's Mudrooms. Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, February 26th. Have a good day.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM.